Okay, thank you. And this is really my PhD student Xia Liang's work. It's really want to share with people the new indicator which are developed, the reactive nitrogen spatial intensity for sustainable nitrogen management from Melbourne University. That's where Melbourne is, Australia, the most southern capital city of Australia. It's our campus almost in the city. It's the most livable city in the world for 7 years, consecutive 7 years. Okay, and I think for this audience, we all know the chemical fertilizer. And well, I just define reactive nitrogen. Reactive nitrogen is all space of nitrogen except N2. Chemical fertilizer, of course, is a man-made reactive nitrogen. It is responsible for the half, the food product, with the food production. And you could debate if we without this red line, if we without this this one, if without chemical fertilizer, you know, we would be have the half the wood population. Now we can debate that invention. Then chemical fertilizer is good or bad. But the fertilizer nitrogen use efficiency is less than 50%. So the reactive nitrogen, ammonia, nitrogen oxide, NOx, nitrate, ammonium, you know, certainly yes, useful on the ammonium nitrate for the is a nutrient for the plant, but certainly is bad for the environment from eutrophication, greenhouse gas emission, air pollution. So you can name all this stuff, and so this is some footage you can see, and here global warming, you know, probably the growing algae grow. Yes, you could think about all the bad. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, European National Assessment concluded, if you believe or not, but it published it in Nature, the health damage alone by reactive nitrogen in the European Union is between 70 to 300 billion euro per year. 70 to 300 billion euro per year. That's how, if we can use that, the damage cost, you know, and then we can produce, you know, all the advanced fertilizer you can. So we, Jim Galloway from Virginia University, the group developed this nitrogen footprint to calculate, you know, what the reactive nitrogen released to the environment, and because our consumption is very much because food consumptions and energy consumptions, and the food and the energy because of produce some reactive nitrogen, particularly NOx. So there's a website. So if you're interested, you can log in to calculate your nitrogen footprint, your test your conscience. So. There are 8 countries use that nitrogen footprint calculator, calculated nitrogen footprint in the, from USA, China, Austria, Japan, Germany, UK. We did it for Australia last year. We published this scientific report, and then this year, Tanzania. Here is this nitrogen footprint. It's a reactive nitrogen per capita. Per year, per person per year, released to the environment. So this is when this published, when my student gave me this data, I just said, I can't believe. I said, Australia is the largest, is the biggest per in the world. You know, Australia is supposed to be in a green and a clean country. So I said, are you sure this is right? So he calculated, yes, yes. So you compare it, Australia is by far largest, and you can see it consists across 8 countries. The blue color is that the reactive nitrogen is primarily produced from food production. We, as I said earlier, because the nitrogen efficiency is still less than 50%. So the biggest contributor is the reactive nitrogen leakage from food production. And then the yellow one is housing because of energy consumption. Australia is very big because the 70% Australian electricity is produced from coal. Coal is not a very clean way, and per unit of electricity produced high reactive nitrogen. So why Australia? produce the highest nitrogen footprint per capita, because another thing I was surprised, we actually eat more beef per person per year than Americans. I couldn't believe it. I don't know. I said, America eat more beef. No, we eat more beef. So that's how much. And then, you know, you put for 15 grams proteins, you know, you only need a few grams, half cup of the beans, only produce 3 grams reactive nitrogen. For same quantity, 15 grams protein from beef, it produce 33, you know, more 10 times more. So if you really want to, you know, make less burden to the environment, eat less beef. So let's see, is the main. So Australia, we eat too much beef. We have big house, you know, the energy consumption. So this is a really contradicts to Australian image, clean and green. And I was not popular for Australia funding industry, because one of my significant funding is from Mid Livestock Australia, funding my study to quantify the nitrogen fluxes from feedlot. They said, ah, this is not good image. So we have to produce, we have to invent something to justify that. That's what our purpose. Okay. Yes, we Australia produce large nitrogen footprint per capita per person, but you know, to have the impact on the environment, it really depends on the spatial intensity of the reactive nitrogen, whether it's exceeding the critical loading. So if you spread a larger amount of reactive nitrogen to the larger area, the damage to the environment is not big. So let's say that we want to develop this reactive nitrogen spatial intensity and compare with the nitrogen footprint. James Galloway and we work together. So the spatial intensity really is per area based. The nitrogen footprint is per person, is a test of your consciousness. So that's what we try to develop. You know, as I said, you know, if it really depends whether that's a nitrogen loading beyond that critical loading limit. So now, to us, not a surprise, so the reactive nitrogen spatial intensity in the agriculture system, and we divided two, and also in the settled in the urban area. Okay, in the agriculture area, the Australia agriculture not intensive, it's extensive. So Australia, reactive nitrogen spatial intensity is the lowest in the world, very, very low, compared to Japan, compared to Netherlands. We all know the Netherlands, how much nitrogen used. And then for urban area, we are still bad. You know, that's Australia. We see it's lots of beef, but actually US is worse in urban area, settled area. So this is, you know, like Australia, but if we combine, we can produce a national average of reactive nitrogen spatial intensity. And they look at, because we weighted the agriculture area and urban area to produce as a national average. So Australia is the lowest among all the countries we calculate. So we submitted this paper. So when we publish it, I can justify Australian funding bodies. So look, the industry in Australia is not too bad. So you see the Japan, not too surprised. Japan and New Zealand is the highest and average. And but nitrogen footprint, you know, compared to nitrogen footprint, Australia is the big contrast. You know, Australia was the highest among the world. So use an example. You know, why the beef has high nitrogen footprint? Because you know the nitrogen efficiency in the cattle. I use the intensive feedlot as an example, less than 15%, majority, 85-90% loss of environment. And then, but when in Australia, like we have 20 million cattle, and but you know, 97% in an extensive area, only 7 heads per 100 hectares, so less reactive nitrogen, don't do anything that damages the environment. So, and then if we use the national average reactive nitrogen spatial intensity, you look at Australia, very clean, very low, except a few spots like Melbourne, Sydney, little dots. That's US, that's Japan, it's pretty bad everywhere. Look at New Zealand. So we can justify the green, clean image of Australia. So reactive nitrogen spatial intensity, you know, really it's a reactive nitrogen released per land area, is a useful indicator for assessing environmental impact. Okay. And also it can enhance the nitrogen footprint. Nitrogen footprint is very important. You can calculate your lifestyle impact on the environment. So I'm going to eat less beef, I'm going to stay smaller house, drive smaller car. You know, you can do that. But for environmental impact, I think NRSI is a better indicator. I'm finishing by one of my passion. It's relevant to the national footprint. Worldwide, we have, you know, like our audience or colleagues, hundreds of thousands of agriculture scientists. We all want agriculture to be sustainable, efficient, yet we don't have any evidence-based metrics to tell whether your food is produced sustainably or efficiently or not. When you walk in the supermarket, you don't know the beef produced from Australia or from the US, from China, which is greener. We don't have that. You know, like these days, if you buy a new car, it's compulsory to you have to tell how much carbon dioxide produced per kilometer. We don't have such indexes. Therefore, we're unable to calculate the true environmental cost. You know, I'm talking paper is fertilizer costs $100 billion a year. The worldwide, $100 billion for nitrogen fertilizer. But the health cost alone, in Europe alone, is $300 billion per year. So if we can convert this environment cost into environment credit, you know, then we can reward the better practices, we can reward the farmers or manufacturers to produce more efficient fertilizer. You know, I use example in Australia. The farmer, sugarcane farmers, you know, they apply fertilizer, some wash it down into the Great Barrier Reef, damage the environment. But if you ask a farmer to buy controlled release fertilizer, they say, no, I'm not going to buy it. It's going to cost us 30% or more. But on the other hand, Australian government is spending $1 billion to try to reduce that. Why don't we reverse that? It's such an environment cost, environment credit to reward a better system. Thank you.